The sermon for this morning is based on the reading from Acts chapter 2. I reread the last verse of that reading that we had for today, verse 21. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, we look at a few verses from this reading from Acts 2. When we look at the scriptures, they tell us a narrative. They tell us what had happened, the story. Yet in those words that are in the verses, there's very deep points you can see in many of the words. And we're going to think about a couple of those words in this reading from Acts 2 today to help us understand maybe a little deeper about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and His work among us. In the first point there in the sermon notes, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Every nation under heaven. It's important for us to understand, to get a viewpoint of what happened there, that first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. Pentecost was an Old Testament festival. And so there were still people there that had celebrated the Passover and had been there actually, had seen perhaps, very likely, Jesus' death. And some had seen him risen from the dead, but not most. And then he appeared for 40 days, and he ascended into heaven. And then the 50th day after that Easter, or after Passover there, then the Holy Spirit came, 10 days after ascension. And when the text says there were devout Jews from every nation, what it's referring to is that there were Jews that were there for the festival, and they were still there. They came for the Passover, and they would stay for the Pentecost festival as well. And so this is why there are Jews from all over with different languages, because they had settled all over the Mediterranean area from every nation under heaven. So the good news about Jesus and the Holy Spirit is meant for all. It wasn't just for the people in Jerusalem. It wasn't just for the people nearby in Samaria. It wasn't just for the people in large cities like Rome, but there were some people from Rome there. It was even from people from certain islands like Cyprus. And they were from all over, and over from Babylon. There were people from all over would hear this message of the gospel. They hear this rushing wind and they come together. And the scripture says they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. This understanding of these different languages, what was present there in Jerusalem, is so important. They were there, the festivals would take place in the Hebrew, but that was not many of them, that was not their mother tongue. That was maybe spoken in synagogue, if they had a synagogue in Rome, or Cyprus, or Antioch, or Babylon, maybe speak Hebrew, but that wasn't their everyday language. They were gathered there all together for the festivals, but their everyday languages were different. Their own language. And they were, it continues in verse 7, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How do these Galileans, how do these people from Galilee know Latin from Rome? How do they know my language from Babylon? How do they know my language from Cyprus? How do they know our languages? They were really astonished. The Holy Spirit gave them power to preach the gospel, to speak the gospel in these other languages. I won't forget the 2 trips ago to Ghana. I remember a little bit of the Kinkombo language. And I visited on a church day. This is 2017, I think it was. And we were there, and there was a lot of children in church. It was in the village of Naswan, where we had a lot of church members, and I had, and the previous missionaries, and after me too, had a lot of baptisms, a lot of members at that little church. And it was full. And I greeted them in the name of Jesus. You hear me say it in English. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. But I said to them, they had me speak a little bit, Mpone bien Isa Yombu. And the children, who never knew me, they were astonished. Because I do not look like them. And their language is not one of the popular majority languages in Ghana. Many people speak Kinkomba, but it's not taught in the schools. It's not an official language of the nation. And here you have a stranger from a different land showing up, and he knows our language. And they were astonished. Well, I had been there for some years and learned something. But they heard it in their mother tongue, and they were surprised. These people here are hearing about Jesus Christ died and risen from the dead, and salvation in the name of Jesus in their own language. And they were all visitors and strangers. Maybe they only knew a few people who could speak their mother tongue of all this big group. But here, the gospel is coming to them. When this is reflected to the Tower of Babel and the confusing of the languages, you see some contrasts and comparisons. When there is sin and rebellion against God, that always brings chaos. Always, always, always. It doesn't matter the language. When there is rebellion and unbelief against God, then people don't know what life is about anymore. They don't know how to live. They don't know what family looks like. They don't know what their behavior should be like. There is chaos, confusion, when one is without the true God. And there is never true understanding when there is sin. So at this Tower of Babel, they wanted to make a name for themselves. Forget about God. Forget about the flood. Just they wanted to make a name for themselves. And so God gave them different languages, and they separated up, and different cultures arose. And that's really significant, because where do these different languages and cultures get along again? They get along again in the gospel, and only in the gospel. Only in Jesus' forgiveness and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where different people throughout the world come together under God. It's no other thing. Absolutely no other thing. If you're blessed to meet or know a Christian from a very different culture, a strong Christian, you will be surprised. Wow. She really knows Jesus like I know Jesus. Wow, that person really has the Holy Spirit. Wow, that person likes to sing songs about Jesus and knows, likes some of my songs and I like some of their songs. Wow, that person has such a deep and high regard for Scripture, God's holy word. And the Holy Spirit enables that strong belief in Jesus, that strong belief in God's word, to be shared, no matter what the language, no matter what the culture. That's how he started out. He started this Christian church by bringing these languages and cultures together. And that is the task Jesus told his disciples and tells us, to share it across cultures, to share it. That is the task of the church. Even in what seems to be a small area or an area that's similar in the nation, like our area in Ohio or nearby Indiana, even where it seems to be all mostly the same, yet there are differences in the families, there are differences in the communities, there are differences in the history, and then there are also new people coming in, bringing in new cultures. The thing which can bind different cultures together and different families and peoples together is the gospel. That is what binds. You share a heritage or you share history. There's some binding there, yes. But in Christ, with the Holy Spirit, it is eternal. You're committed to one another forever. And you realize, I'm going to be in heaven forever with you. With you, and you, and you, and you. And it's a commitment to, even though there's differences, it's a commitment as God's people to be strong together. Even if that person might be of a different race, or of a different culture, or of a different language, or of a different language that's very difficult, in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are in the one eternal family of God, and we are bound to them. And the chaos of the Tower of Babel and all the chaoses that we have going on in the world today, the Holy Spirit can overcome those person by person, spiritually, by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It impressed itself upon me. I was fortunate in 2008 to make a five-week journey. Debbie will say it was an eight-week journey. To Siberia with a group of Siberia, Russia, with a group from Fort Wayne. And we met German-speaking people who had been put into Siberia at the time of World War II, Lutherans. And these folks had been separated out from their heritage, from where they grew up. And now they were in Siberia. And they had very, very little contact with outside Christians. And this was just in 2008 and earlier years, a decade before these trips had been going on, and I was asked to go on one. And it was amazing to me that some of these people I would just meet for an afternoon, but the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ was shared. And it was amazing to me to know that they had gone through sufferings and they had been sent to Siberia, literally, and they had kept the faith and they were still in the faith. And yet, when strangers would come with the same faith in Christ, we could talk and share and pray together. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just what it is. The Holy Spirit can make these big jumps in culture and time. And what we think are big little jumps, maybe of our family or our neighbors, they're big jumps, actually. But the Holy Spirit can do that, too, and bring a unity and a shared understanding and faith of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's work, is to bind us together. That last phrase in the reading for today, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to see that this is not a maybe thing. This is, it says, it shall come to pass. This is going to happen. No matter what happens throughout world history, no matter what happens tomorrow or next month or next year or the next decade, it shall come to pass that more and more people will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That is God's word and his will. And they shall call on the name of the Lord. And dear friends, this is really important for us. Nobody is saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. If we have relations with people, if we have friendships, if we have acquaintances, whatever, when we have a chance to share the name of Jesus and to share Jesus died and risen for us, that's the crucial thing. That's the thing the Holy Spirit pushes us to share, is the name of Jesus, what he's done for us, his promises to us. That is what the Holy Spirit moves us to share. So when we find ourselves with those opportunities, take it. Thank God for it. Just share it. It is the will of God that the name of Jesus would be called upon. And sometimes what we need to do is not only to share the name of Jesus, to do that, and then you share the name of Jesus in prayer. Just ask the person sometime, can I pray with you? And just pray, dear Jesus, I pray for Martha. She needs your help. She needs to know that she's forgiven. She needs to know that she's protected. In your name we pray. Amen. Pray with the person in the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending us the Holy Spirit. We ask you that your Spirit would be alive every day in our life, that we would grow in the name of Jesus, grow and worship Jesus, grow in sharing the name of Jesus. This is your will. And help us to be in situations and to see those situations where we have the opportunities to share the name of Jesus. We give you thanks that you've put his name into our lives and into the lives of our families. And we ask you to keep us strong. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Normally, when we don't have communion, a non-communion Sunday, we speak the Apostles' Creed. And somebody noted that to me and said, oh, shouldn't the bulletin have the Apostles' Creed? And I expressly picked the Nicene Creed today for us to say, because it has a little bit more about the Holy Spirit there than the Apostles' Creed. And that part of the Nicene Creed helps us think about how the Holy Spirit's involved in our lives. Okay, I explained that, but first we'll sing the hymn. But think about that when we get to the Nicene Creed. We sing, Holy Spirit, Light Divine.